You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
January the 13th, 2020, the Iranian military general Soleimani, dead of course, blown to bits as he stepped into Baghdad as we hit him with missiles fired by a U.S. drone. But his reign of terror continues. And over the weekend, we had two more U.S. military personnel killed, others injured in southern Afghanistan by a roadside bomb. All of that put across paths of our U.S. troops by Soleimani and his proxy agents. In the meantime, there's video emerging online that Iran protesters are facing live ammunition being fired at them. They've been in the streets protesting, wanting a regime change, upset with the Iranian leadership, wanting to see things change for the better, and protesters are being dispersed not by troops firing rubber bullets, but live ammunition. Something like 1,500 have been killed over recent weeks. No word yet on how many were killed in the most recent protest. Iran has a female Olympic medalist, one. She's now defected, fleeing to the Netherlands. She said her decision was difficult, but something she had to do. So she has left the country and probably no doubt leaving family and friends behind and has to worry, will they be punished because of her defection? Treasury Secretary Mnuchin says, we're working with China to cut off any Iranian oil exports to that country. We have already shut down a lot of the oil exports out of Iran to various countries, but China has still been getting some, and we're making it clear to them. We'll put additional sanctions on you and European countries, that would include France and Britain, Germany, if they continue to rely on Iranian oil. You recall back in December, we had a Saudi Air Force second lieutenant shoot and kill three American sailors at Pensacola Naval Air Station. Now more than a dozen Saudi servicemen stationed here at our military bases are being kicked out of the U.S. Full investigation finds many of them do have ties to extremism. Good. Get them out of our bases. Over the weekend, we had a guy that is apparently a dishonorably discharged Marine impersonating a security guard for President Trump's Marine One helicopter. He got past checkpoints at Palm Beach International Airport, getting closer to the helicopter, but at some point, he got stopped. And now he's being charged with impersonating an officer employee of the U.S., and the Secret Service is looking into the rest of his history. We told you about this last week, and it continues to be a big deal and concern of not only Mexican authorities, but Homeland Security. Reports of an intelligence alert about a possible suicide bomber traveling, trying to get across our southern border with a group of others. Mexico's been worried about it. We're worried about it. And that's assuming it's only one suicide bomber. Do not know at this point if it's linked to us taking out Soleimani. Don't really care. If they're trying to come into our country illegally to carry out a suicide bombing, we need to stop them. And for the Democrats who think we should not have any border walls and security and it should not be a crime, I don't want you to be hurt or your families. But keep in mind, this suicide bomber might show up at one of your favorite coffee shops or something. You never know. Now, do you think it should be a criminal act to come across our border illegally? It'll be blamed on Trump. Update on the election candidates, those running for the White House. Senator Cory Booker says, goodbye, I'm out. No surprise there. Also, a new survey, a CNN Des Moines Register survey, shows that Bernie Sanders taking the lead in Iowa less than a month ahead of the February 3rd caucus. The list of the nominees for the 92nd Academy Awards out. Best Picture, Ferrari. I have not seen that one. The Irishman, I have. Jojo Rabbit, haven't seen it. Joker, have seen it. Little Women, haven't seen it. Marriage Story, haven't seen it. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, saw it. Parasite, haven't seen it. 1917, haven't, but I want to. Those are the movies nominated for the top. I would take Joker out of the list. It fell flat. The Irishman, I like. Ford versus Ferrari, that looks pretty good. But 1917, that might be the winner. But, as I said, I haven't seen all of them. Maybe you have. If not, now you know those at the top of the list. And so we go, paying attention more, once again, to Hollywood. And sometimes it's good.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington Environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So coming up in this hour, we're going to talk about how a guy attacked someone wearing a MAGA cap, and now the guy got charged and is facing jail time. Good. We need to put a stop to that kind of stuff. And also, former FBI Director Comey, while he was the FBI director, he wanted a most nasty story to be told because he knew it would reflect badly upon President Trump. I mean, it was the nastiest part of the story, and he wanted it, made sure it was included in one of the reports, fearing that if it got put on some amendment or a little side note, it wouldn't get all the attention. We'll get into that. Also, a former Obama administration lawyer, I kid you not, a former administration lawyer under the Obama administration has been given the authority, the job, to investigate how FISA court was abused by the FBI and to try to correct things, make things better. They couldn't come up with someone who had not served in the Obama administration. Oh, and also, if you like to hike and camp outdoors, you're probably a racist. That's right. We'll get into that a little bit later. There are additional reports coming out that President Trump is now saying whether or not there was an imminent threat from Soleimani the other day. We were going to do what we should. And reports apparently that he gave the go and the green light to light him up 7 months ago. And we've just been looking for the perfect opportunity. And getting him outside Iran in a air base at Baghdad, I should say not an air base, but the airport there, and not a lot of buildings or other people around, it provided the perfect opportunity. So we can thank Soleimani for thinking he was safe to go anywhere he wanted. And then, of course, how'd you like to be the guy behind him that gets the call? We got good news and Bad news. Bad news, Salami has been taken out. Good news, you're next. Or would that also be bad news? The target is on you now. So we continue to wait and see what is going to happen on this impeachment. Nancy Pelosi just kind of mucking it around, doesn't know what to do. Do I go forward now or do I wait? And so supposedly believing that she's doing the right thing. And yet you've got members of the U.S. Senate running for the White House on the Democrat side that would have to break off their campaigns and go to the Senate and sit in on this Senate trial. You got Senator Cory Booker. Well, never mind. He's decided he can no longer campaign anyway, so he's bailing out. And you got Klobuchar, and you got Sanders, and you got Warren. And while they're tied up in the Senate, Joe Biden can run around, do whatever he wants. Michael Bloomberg, Tom Steyer, they will have free rein to go where they want, as they want, because they won't have to deal with those contenders because they're tied up on the impeachment. Oh, and by the way, Nancy Pelosi was asked over the weekend by George Stephanopoulos, ABC, talking to Pelosi, you said he, referring to Trump, is violating the Constitution again and again. Do you think it's possible the House might have to file new articles of impeachment? Pelosi's answer, let's see what the Senate does. That's it. That's it. If the Senate throws all of this out, even holds witnesses and everything, and then decides not to impeach, they are still thinking about bringing more impeachment. Or maybe that's just what they want you to believe. But I tend to think they're going to fight tooth and nail every day, one way or the other. They're doing their best to make sure Trump is unelectable and is not good for the U.S. Just like they did first with a Russian investigation, then the Zelensky phone call. I mean, they're just looking for anything and everything, anything to keep the knives in the air. And I also think that question was probably set up. I tend to think that Pelosi or somebody wanted a chance to say that, probably told George, hey, ask if we're going to file additional articles. I don't know for fact. That's just my supposition. I do know that on the same broadcast on ABC's This Week, a Washington Post congressional reporter, Rachel Bade, talked about how Nancy Pelosi, in her opinion, and this did not set well with Nancy, I'm sure, in her opinion, that Nancy has basically messed this up from top to bottom. Here are the words of Rachel Bade, Washington Post congressional reporter.
Yeah, definitely. I think she's clearly putting a positive spin on what a lot of Democrats have privately said was a failed strategy. I mean, she and Chuck Schumer, the minority leader in the Senate, set out to, number one, try to get a commitment from McConnell on witnesses, firsthand witnesses, to have them testify in a Senate trial. She also said she wanted to see a resolution about, you know, how the whole proceedings would be governed. She got neither of those. I do think there are a lot of Democrats who, while not going on the record and saying it, a lot of them had concern about this.
All right, so here's where we are. As Rachel Bade was saying, Pelosi's trying to put the best spin on it she can, but a lot of Democrats, they think the train's left the station, that there's nothing to be done, it's just going to look stupid, it's going to take us away, it's going to distract, it might rebuild Trump's base. All of that I agree with. I think it will. But here's what we think is going to happen next. Tomorrow, Tuesday, could be considered a pivotal day, because Nancy has said already that she's going to send articles of impeachment to the Capitol either Tuesday or Wednesday. And what happens tomorrow is the House Democrat caucus will huddle in the morning. Now, after that meeting, Nancy might come out immediately after that and say, all right, we're sending it to the Senate. She could have done it. She does not need to have a caucus. They already know what they want to do and where they're going to do, but she's just buying time. And is it good for any of the candidates running against Trump? Is any one candidate maybe going to get some benefit of it by delaying a little bit longer? Would that help, as some are suggesting, maybe help Bernie Sanders more because later and later it goes, then maybe it helps Sanders, or maybe it would hurt Sanders and help Biden more since he doesn't have to be tied up with the Senate. I don't know. There are a lot of things in play at this point. But the House Democratic Caucus will huddle in the morning. And after that, after the caucus meeting, she might come out and immediately say, we're sending it to the Senate. Maybe a debate or vote could happen the same day. It may be before it's over with that they may wait until later in the week, or then again, next week. I'm looking at a piece written by Chad Pergram for Fox News. And he said, here's what needs to happen mechanically, regardless of when Pelosi pulls the trigger. He says the articles are usually tucked into cherry wood or cedar boxes and escorted across the Capitol with a procession led by the House Sergeant-at-Arms and Senate Sergeant. And Pelosi then decides to put the measure on the floor. One story would be the announcement of the impeachment managers. Who are they? Where are they from? How many? Is it a large group, small group? Republicans tapping 13 white men as impeachment managers for Clinton's 99 trial. Pelosi likely select a smaller and more diverse group to represent the House before the Senate. The House would then hold a short 10-minute debate on sending the impeachment measure plus the managers to the Senate. They need a simple majority vote. Once they do it, the articles are ready to be walked across the Capitol to the Senate. And he points out that here's where things get tricky. Even if the House approves the articles, it's not really sure when they're going to be packed up and actually delivered. They could be delivered immediately, or they may decide to delay it a little bit. And then, of course, it goes to the Senate, and it has its turn to wrestle with impeachment. Looking at a piece that Rudy Giuliani penned the other day, and he's saying, I think it's time for the Supreme Court to step in and to rule this impeachment unconstitutional. Rudy Giuliani. Let me read some of this to you, see if you concur. He begins by saying, Democrats' obsession from day one to impeach President Donald J. Trump without regard to substance or process led them, speaking of the Democrats, to change the grounds for impeachment every couple of months. And that's a fact. He goes on to say, in doing so, they've gone from Russian collusion to obstruction of justice to quid pro quo to bribery. That's also a fact. Then he adds, House Democrats who put our constitutional government in grave danger by attempting to rewrite the carefully calibrated separation of powers under our Constitution and usurping powers not granted to the House. They have brought Alexander Hamilton's nightmare of an entirely partisan impeachment to fruition and are making a mockery of fair proceedings. Let me stop right there. Do you remember how many times, and we've run the bites for you repeatedly, I'm not going to bother with it today, but Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer stating in past times, and even Jerry Nadler, we can't have just one party push for an impeachment. It has to be a bipartisan vote so it won't look political. If you're going to have an impeachment, both parties have to sign on to it. You know where the only bipartisan support has been? Is rejecting the impeachment in the House. Democrats in the House, some of them joining the Republicans to say, no, we should not move forward with this. That's the only bipartisan support, but it's in the minority, so they're pushing forward. And then you got Giuliani pointing out that while the Constitution does give the House broad discretion in impeachments, there are limits. The most explicit of these is that impeachment can only be for treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. Article 2, Section 4, U.S. Constitution. However, the articles for impeachment voted on by this entirely partisan Democratic Congress, which are currently being unconstitutionally withheld from the Senate, charge no such offenses. In fact, abuse of power and obstruction of Congress are not crimes of any kind, high or low. Therein lies a real reason why House Speaker Pelosi has refused to send the two articles of impeachment to the Senate. Those are the words of Rudy Giuliani, the president's attorney. But on that point, the impeachment can only be for treason, bribery, or other high crimes or misdemeanors. What we have is a two-count impeachment against the president from the House. Abuse of power. There's nothing in the Constitution that deals with abuse of power. That could be, I demand I get my eggs on my plate first thing at 7 in the morning, and if I don't, somebody's head's going to roll. That could be an abuse of power, the way the Democrats are looking at it. And then obstruction of Congress. That's not a violation. If so, every president has violated that over and over again, obstructing Congress one way or the other. Part of the checks and balances of the three divisions of our government. What makes it different this time? You know what makes a difference. The fact is, it's Donald Trump. The abuse of power, that is so vague, and it's meant to be vague. See, they tried. They looked at, can we get him on quid pro quo? Can we get him on bribery? Can we get him on extortion? Now, bribery and extortion, those would have been legitimate charges, but they don't have those. Even though members of the Democrats said over and over again, he's guilty, guilty, guilty of this, they didn't charge him with it. Why? Because, in the bottom line, they have no proof. And they still have no proof. And yet Nancy Pelosi over the weekend, when probably hand-fed a question from George Stephanopoulos, says we might file additional charges depending on what the Senate does. And around we go, moving closer to November and Trump's re-election. But if you wear a MAGA hat or MAGA shirt and you're out in public and you're attacked and assaulted, do you think you're going to get any help? Will the law come to your rescue? Well, it has in one case. I want to share that with you when we continue. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. Redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
One more point about what we were discussing in the last segment about Nancy Pelosi still holding back, still not submitting the impeachment documents, and may do it tomorrow or later this week. Does it benefit any particular candidate running on the Democrat ticket for the White House? Now, I said that it might well help those who are not tied up inside the Senate that had to be there. That would be Senator Warren, Senator Sanders, Booker, of course, is out, Klobuchar. The others, Biden and Bloomberg, they can run all around the country and do what they want. They don't have to go in the Senate and listen over the impeachment hearing. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy is suggesting directly that he thinks Pelosi is holding it up to help out Joe Biden. Because by delaying it, it means that once it starts, Biden won't be tied up with the Senate, but Sanders will, and Warren, and he's suggesting that might incite the Sanders base that Pelosi did this, might blow back on her. We'll see. We'll see. So back in October, a 67-year-old was sitting at a bar in Vero Beach, Florida. Nice day, I'm sure. Vero Beach, enjoying a little drink, I don't know, Jack, maybe a beer, maybe just a soda. Minding his own business, wearing a MAGA hat, a Make America Great Again hat. And a 43-year-old walked over and started making trouble. In fact, he shows on the video that he places a towel with a guy's head to cover up the Make America Great Again lettering, then slaps the bill of the hat and says, "Go back to Russia, you effing communist," and then spits on the guy and leaves the bar. Well, they tracked down the guy as he went out to his car and got his license number, and he got arrested, got picked up by police. And he told police when he was arrested, "I was just trying to protect you guys because I support law enforcement. Trump supporters are communists and racist." Right. Well, they finally got him in front of court, and he entered a no-contest plea, and he was found guilty of battery. Good. He's sentenced to 90 days in jail, plus has to pay $155 damage to the man he spit on. And he says, I don't even care if I'm going to jail. This is actually exciting. What an idiot. But attacking a guy simply because he had on a MAGA hat or MAGA shirt, how many times have we seen that happen? This time a 67-year-old man, other times it's been a white teenager. Why do they think they can get away with it? Because if you are a Trump supporter, there must be something really wrong with you. Nothing wrong with them for attacking you. And then this guy claiming that I'm actually for cops and I'm for law enforcement and Trump supporters aren't. The guy is clearly out to lunch, but I'm glad to see they're going to prosecute. All right, so former FBI Director Comey, he wanted the nastiest story he could come up with told regarding Donald Trump. And he made sure it was included in some documents that others were saying, well, it doesn't have to go in there. He said, no, I want it in there. I want it there. What exactly did he want included in some documents? Well, it might be a little shocking to some of you. If it's going to shock you, I apologize in advance, but we'll tell you about it when we continue.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I know you probably think during the commercial, Larry just walking around doing much of nothing. Actually, I'm busy at every step of this program trying to stay ahead on some things if new things are breaking. I was just trying to run down some information, which I'll get to in a moment, and I think I've got it nailed down. I prepare a lot for the program, but then suddenly something pops up and it raises a question for me, and I'm thinking, do I have this right? Let me verify. Live programming, sometimes you can make mistakes. I try to minimize them, and I try it especially when I'm trying to give what I am saying are facts, that they are correct. So that's what I was trying to do. I'll get to that story in a moment. But here's what we were talking about a moment ago. And if this is going to be offensive to you, you've heard the term before, but maybe you really didn't know what it was, and maybe you don't want to know, but we're going to have that discussion here. There's an email proving that former ex-FBI Director James Comey personally approved that FBI decision to have a wild and unsubstantiated claim made about President Trump to be included in material considered for publication in the U.S. intelligence community's official report, the official report on the alleged Russian interference in the 2016 election. Now, there were some that were saying, you know, we could just put this on a side part. We don't have to put it right into the main thing and maybe just have it referenced in a dossier of the appendix. But apparently, Comey approving what McCabe wanted to have done. McCabe, of course, is deputy director at the time. And Comey knew what was going to happen with it. And McCabe already had in his mind as to how it would play out. And that was as part of that dossier by Steele, the so-called agent that was working to uncover what was going on in the Russian collusion story, that they had a part in there dealing with the golden showers, as some refer to it as the, let me see how they referred to it here. They referred to it as the P charges against Trump. Golden showers is somebody standing above you or on you or whatever and urinating on you. As I said, if it's offensive to you, I just want to make sure you understand, because why would that be so important in that dossier when they were trying to show that Trump had some collusions with the Russians and so forth? Because they wanted the wildest sexual claims they could have sent into it. Remember, all of this had to do with a bed that the Obamas were going to be sleeping in at a hotel, and that Trump supposedly hired prostitutes to go in there and have the golden shower up on the bed before the Obamas would sleep in it. It never was proven, but it didn't make any difference with ex-FBI Director James Comey, nor Andrew McCabe. But McCabe, serving under Comey as the deputy director, specifically wanted the, quote, P charges against Trump to be included in the body of the intel report. Not as a side, not a reference, look it up in the appendix, state it directly. Why? Because they knew what it would do. Regarding those remarks, McCabe stated, "We oppose the CIA's current plan to include it as an appendix. There are a number of reasons why I feel strongly it needs to appear in some fashion in the main body of the reporting, and I would welcome the chance to talk with you about it tomorrow." And then Comey ended up approving inclusion in the main body of the report. What would be the value of doing that? Oh, you know what the value was. It was to further demean Donald Trump and attack Donald Trump. Had no validation for it, but it was a titillating little part of the story, and they thought, let's just put it in there. Make sure we get into the main body of the report. Don't just put a little asterisk and say refer to page 943 to find it. We'll put it right here. And it got the attention they wanted. That was obviously the intent from the beginning. And, of course, don't forget they were using the Steele dossier to go get these warrants from the FISA court, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, FISA, or FISIC, actually, for the court. Those are to authorize wiretaps, things of this nature. And they were using the Steele dossier as evidence, not acknowledging to the court that they knew part of it was false or a lot of it was false, or they didn't have any verification, or they didn't know if it's true. They didn't care. They just wanted to use it. That's the way the FBI was handling it. And a lot of that got exposed in the Inspector General's report recently, Horowitz. And he said, "I find no clear evidence nor testimony that all of this was done on a partisan basis, that it was, I can't find that." But that was actually on the FISA warrants being applied for and so forth. He did admit the actual initiation of the so-called Russian collusion story he couldn't refer to. But here's what's happening in trying, because the Inspector General's report came out like that immediately, as the head of the FISA court at that time, and the judges rotate. At that time, it is Presiding Judge Rosemary Carler. She got incensed, demanding the FBI identify all matters currently or previously before this court involving the participation of the FBI in the Horowitz report. And immediately the FBI sent over word, "Hey, we found 20 different things we could deal with. 20 different mistakes that were still hanging out there, and they just kind of let them lay there until they got called on it." But now that judge is no longer heading up the FISA court. She stepped down early. She's supposed to serve longer, but she stepped down claiming for health reasons. And now there's a new judge that's heading up the FISA court. the presiding judge, James Boasberg, out of California. And I was trying to verify, was he appointed by Obama or not? And I cannot I'm sure that he was, but I don't have it here. You had to give me. I try to run down all this for you at the last minute, and I find he was appointed by Chief Justice John Roberts to the FISA court, but I don't know how he got appointed to the federal court. I think it was during Obama. Aside from that, he's now in charge of making sure how the FBI cleans up its act. And they have pointed out or selected a former Obama administration lawyer. The court and the judge deciding, we want this lawyer to oversee the FBI surveillance reforms, and this guy is a former Obama administration lawyer, a left-wing blogger, David Chris, serving on DOJ. He's appeared repeatedly on Rachel Maddow's program talking about how bad Trump is and how things were all messed up under the Trump administration. At the same time, defending the FISA applications every step of the way. And even at one point on Twitter, stating the walls were closing in on Trump. This is supposed to be the guy overseeing, cleaning up the FBI and finding out what all was done wrong in the investigation and the abuse of the FISA court and FISA warrants. They can't find someone other than who appeared on the Rachel Maddow show, a former Obama administration lawyer, that simply now is charged with find out what's wrong in the FBI and their surveillance practices, make sure they don't happen again. I know you've heard the phrase, getting the fox to guard the chicken house. That's exactly what you got here. Nunes is calling it out exactly right. Committee, House Republican Devin Nunes of California said the appointment of Chris is shocking and inexplicable. He said it's hard to imagine a worse person the FISA court could have chosen outside of Comey, McCabe, or Adam Schiff. He said it's a ridiculous choice. The FBI lied to the FISA court, and to help make sure that doesn't happen again, the FISA court chose an FBI apologist who denied and defended those lies. The FISA court is setting its own credibility on fire. Nunes said, of all the people in the swamp, this is the guy you come up with. The guy that was accusing me of federal crimes, the guy that was defending dirty cops at the FBI, the court must be trying to abolish itself. There is long-term damage. It's all there. It's all evident. They knew we would have the background. We knew that we would know the background of the guy they're naming. It's not something that's going to be hidden. It's all going to be there. And they are so brazen. They just think we can get away with it, just as they were doing during the Russian collusion story. Majority of those attorneys hired to work with Robert Mueller investigating Trump had also been attorneys for and are contributing to the Hillary Clinton campaign. They didn't care. And they didn't care if you had a problem with it, because that's the way they were going to do it. Money. If I had here, I'd be pulling it out or setting it on fire myself. So if you like to camp outdoors and you're outdoorsman type and hiking and so forth, you might not want to hear this next story, because there are allegations that makes you a racist.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Andrew called my attention to this. I thank him for it. I try to stay on so many different sources and events, and sometimes I appreciate the additional help. I I'm about thinking about putting him on the staff. No, I'm not going to do that. I'll get him a drink occasionally when he comes in from Chicago. But it's a piece by Kira Davis with Red State. Kira Davis is a black woman, but she's also conservative, Republican. And the title of the article that she put out, published January the 12th, just yesterday, "Hiking is Racist? The Soft Bigotry of Low Expectations Comes for Nature." Here's the way she begins it. Are you white? Do you like hiking? If the answer is yes, the Sierra Club wants you to know you're a racist, or at least you are aiding and abetting racism. And, of course, the Sierra Club is that environmental activist group that always promotes outdoor activities, enjoying nature. So that would be good, wouldn't you think? But apparently some on the Sierra Club are now thinking that the only folks that really get out and enjoy the outdoors are white people. That's right. And, of course, the author here, as I said, a black woman, Kira Davis, said, "I'm a minority, and I do believe wholeheartedly in reaching out to underserved communities to give them a chance to experience things they never had access before." He said, "My husband and I used to lead our inner city youth group, and we once took them on an overnight canoeing excursion. We might as well have told parents we were dropping their kids off at the mouth of a volcano. Black people don't canoe." That was a popular refrain, she said. "Well, we laughed and we took the kids anyway, and it was an amazing time." She pointed out that some people take the experience of nature for granted, and when you see someone really embrace the outdoors for the first time, it gives you a greater sense of what too many in a modern American culture are missing. She said, "It did remind me that there are a lot of minorities in one area of life or another. Does that mean we had to pull out our hair thinking of ways to get them there, to include them or not include them? And if you're not including them, are you being racist?" That's what she's trying to suggest here. She said basically she was upset because they just want to make it a black-white issue or a minority issue of camping. And she said that if you take at face value that minorities are intentionally excluded from the outdoors, what are you terrible white folks supposed to do about it? Then she quotes this, an activist and author, Glenn Nelson, writing, "Because the outdoors remains a largely white domain, it is up to white America to invite communities of color in to enlist us as allies." What? Then she adds this, quoting again Glenn Nelson, "Dialogue is a first step toward promoting true inclusion and diversity at a much deeper level. We must address the race head on and understand we live in a society that offers one group of people advantages based on the color of their skin. For example, while the national park system has been lauded as America's best idea, we must acknowledge that the parks originally excluded people of color. Given that history, it becomes easier to understand why minorities may continue to feel unwelcome in the outdoors." That's the quote she was referring to. And her response is, "I've been black my whole life. I can guarantee you no black person looks at a national park and thinks, I don't want to go there because once upon a time, people of color were excluded from parks." She said, "I don't even know if that's true. It doesn't matter. We're not wandering around with this race chip on our shoulders 24/7. If you turn off CNN once in a while, you know that." She said, you want to know who makes us feel unwelcome outdoors? Mosquitoes. I love it. Again, this is a black woman saying, you want to call out racism based on simply if folks like to camp or go out in the woods or something. She said, nobody gives a rat's arse about what white people are or where they are outside. A lot of black Americans still live in urban centers. They don't like outdoors because they don't like bugs or dirt or squatting to poop. She said, the very assumption that black minority people are a shivering, huddled mass of frightened idiots just waiting for the white messiah to come lead us into the forest is downright offensive. I would agree fully. I mean, I have known some women that just will not go camping. Here's their idea of camping. I mean, their idea of camping is not anything out like, you know, when I was in the Boy Scouts, we did camping, and we were sleeping out, putting up our little pup tents, and then sleeping in bedrolls and so forth, and cold or hot, whatever it would be, weather, rain, snow, sleet, and sometimes, yeah, we did it all. Then the Marines should do the same thing. And many of you, if you've served in the military, you've done it at some point in your life. You had to huddle up under a tent or something. You're outdoors and there is no escaping. You'd like to be indoors, but you can't. But for folks to try to say that if you like going to the park and doing that, you must be white and you're racist. Well, I'm again reminded, as I said, of some women I've known that over the past, that if I suggested camping, their idea, well, I'll put it very directly, their idea of camping, of roughing it, is if we go to a hotel and it doesn't have room service. That's tough. That is tough. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you have the same attitude. Hey, I appreciate you listening. Please let your friends and neighbors and even your enemies know we're on the air Monday through Friday right here. Have them take part either listening live or to the podcast, which will be up at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Back tomorrow, same time, same station. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.